Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our new silsila, Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the life of the chosen one. Before we introduce the silsila, I would like to share with you a benefit of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our beloved Prophet al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, adorn your gatherings, meaning make your gatherings beautiful, decorate your gatherings by sending blessings upon me, by invoking salawat upon me, by expressing a supplication of blessing for me. This, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues in the narration, this reading of Durood Sharif, as we call it, or this sending of blessings upon me, will be nur, light for you on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed us to adorn our gatherings, make our gatherings beautiful through the action of sending blessings upon him, or expressing a supplication of blessings for him. And we commonly understand this as Durood Sharif, or reciting Durood Sharif. This is an action that we are encouraged to do, we are instructed to do by Allah Almighty Himself in the Quran. And we as believers express our love and affection for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by sending blessings upon him. In Dawat-e-Islami, we have a code of conduct that has been given to us by our beloved Shaykh Tariqat Amiri Ahli Sunnat, Abu Bilal Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadiri, Damat Barakatuh Mul Aliyah. That code of conduct is called the Madani In'amat. Within this Madani In'amat questionnaire, as you may understand it, there are various points that may be considered as part as a daily routine of reflection. Coming to our silsila, Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the life of the chosen one. Before we go into the events of the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's important to understand some points that will put this silsila into perspective for many of us. As far as the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, in the rich history of Islam, there is so much literature available and volumes have been written about the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So our challenge is to provide a summary of some events of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In reality, every aspect of his life and every characteristic can be likened to a sea, a never-ending sea, a sea that you cannot see the end of, the limit of. So when we talk about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, our speech is not able to encompass and include everything. Our speech is simply a reminder of some elements of his life that we are able to use to inspire each other. Allah Almighty in the Quran has reminded us of the excellent nature of the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. In life today, we may become inclined to certain people in society, Many today aspire to people they are impressed by. Allah Almighty has made it very clear in the Quran, who are we to follow and whose example is the best example for us? In the words of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, for you, in the Messenger of Allah, is an excellent example. Allah has given us the answer to who should I follow. We need not look anywhere else. Following our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is a means of salvation for us, is a means of success for us. Regarding this verse, Sadrul Afadil, Mawlana Na'imuddin Muradabadi alayhi rahmatul hadi says that this means our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to be followed in a good way, fully. And also, this verse expresses that one should serve and help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one should not leave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And the last element, which is probably directly linked, and we see a very strong expression of this within Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, is that he, towards the end of the paragraph, says, this verse is also reminding us that following the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following his sunnah is better for us. There is a situation we find in society today where people question the following of religion and the following of Islam, and they have doubts about it, and they think, you know, maybe if we do things in a different way it might be better, and they try to use their understanding to look for some difference or some alternative way to the defined religious way or religious code of conduct. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu ta'ala an, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that none amongst you can become a believer, meaning a complete believer, until he makes his desires, until his desires comply to what I have brought. Meaning, whatever the religion our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us and the guidelines that he has given us, we must make our desires comply to this. And this is the essence of Iman, and this is a means of attaining the completion of Iman. So today, if we question what Islam states and the guidelines within Islam, this is in fact a sign of weakness in Iman. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that he who loved my sunnah, meaning he who loved my way, loved me, and he who loved me will be with me in paradise. So the importance of Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the importance of knowing about his life and studying the events of his life and reminding each other of his qualities, in essence, is to gain that encouragement to follow him and to be reminded of some of the characteristics of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we may directly apply to our lives. He was sent as an example to be followed. There is an attitude that sometimes some of you may find an extreme, in fact, that people say, how can you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He is the Prophet of Allah. No, he is the greatest in creation. We can't follow him. We are sinful people. And that is actually, it comes from people who don't have the correct understanding of Islam. We are not talking about being like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We are simply reminding each other of what the Quran says, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to be followed. So we follow him in every way possible, excluding those things that were exceptions for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that were only for him. He is to be followed, and in the Quran we have evidence of this nature of following. Allah Almighty says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. O beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you. So not only has Allah told His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to order the people to follow Him, He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has made following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a means of attaining his love. So this extreme of, oh, we can't follow him because he is a prophet, is actually an error in understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wholeheartedly and make our lives better and gain success in the hereafter. As far as the seerah is concerned, in the beginning, at very early stages, seerah was confined to the battles that took place in the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was the seer and maghazi were the themes. Within this theme, it was mainly the battles, the ghazawat which took place, the details of those, the accounts and the details related to that. And with time, the seerah literature began to include events leading up to the birth of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, events leading up to the proclamation of prophethood, and to some extent events even after he departed from the world. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his life and his seerah is put into focus, it not only refers to his birth or some certain events of his life, it has the scope to include anything related to the life and characteristics and places of residence, and even the companions and the family of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, from the chambers of the Azwaj Mutahharat radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna, to the intense battlefields, from the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarrama to the trading markets of Syria, all these locations and all these places and events, they are included within Seerah. So Seeratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam includes this and much more. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, as far as the location of Arabia is concerned and the influences surrounding Arabia, it is worth being reminded of the empires that were influential in just before the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and some of the events which took place during his time of prophethood are directly linked to the influences of the empires surrounding Arabia. Towards the north, the famous Roman Empire affecting the reaching Syria and Iraq, and also the branch of the Roman Empire in Constantinople overlooking that particular region. In the south, you had the Abyssinian Empire, which had affected and influenced Yemen, and the Abraha was a representative of the Abyssinian king or Abyssinian ruler. The Persian Empire was also in power, and there was a struggle between the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire for power. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, as far as Arabia is concerned, in terms of the empires that were in power during and in fact before the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is worth being reminded of those empires, for those empires are included in the accounts of seerah within the time and era of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some important accounts about the companions radiyallahu ta'ala and whom are directly linked to some of these empires. And the Roman Empire actually had a branch overlooking the eastern part in Constantinople. Towards the south, you had the Abyssinian Empire, which had reached Yemen, San'a, and Christianity being prominent in that region. Arabia itself had not been dominated, so to speak. Arabia itself was not under the direct influence of any of the named empires, the Roman, Persian, or Abyssinian empires. In fact, some scholars wrote that one possible reason for this being that no one had taken the initiative of going into that desert area, for they did not give it the same value, or they thought of it as being something a mysterious conquest. Many of them had not gone so far. Arabia itself, in one sense, in that sense, was free from the shackles of any such empire. Makkah al-Mukarramah being the central city of the Hijaz area, and within Makkah al-Mukarramah being famous for the sacred Kaaba, the city of pilgrimage, Ummul Qura, it was referred to, the mother of cities, the mother of settlements. Pilgrims would come annually to celebrate and commemorate in their own way and fulfill their own religious rites. Makkah al-Mukarramah historically is described as being in the shade of the two famous mountains, Abu Qubais and Qa'iqa'an. But obviously with the change, with the passing of time and the changing of the landscape, it may be difficult to see some of the original areas and places which are directly linked to the seerah. Obviously, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and when we look at Makkah, we have areas like Muzdalifah and Arafah. Also, the two famous caves, Thawr and Hira, being within Makkah al-Mukarramah, and more about those caves when we reach the appropriate stage of the seerah. Madinah al-Munawwara, the city of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously today famous for the resting place, the Rawda of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some under 5 kilometers, according to some, from Madinah al-Munawwara is Mount Uhud, and at the base of near Mount Uhud, the resting place of the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidul Shuhada, Sayyiduna Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Madinatul Munawwara, looking at the outskirts, some 5 kilometers away, the famous Masjid Quba, which was the place the Prophet, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to after his migration. He himself was involved in constructing and building the masjid. As far as the conditions of Arabia were concerned, the conditions of Arabia were such that tribes would go into battle over petty things. It was very easy for a tribal feud to be triggered by something very minor. Some have given the historical reason for this, about how a particular there was a tribal war going on, and the daughter of a particular chief was taken as a captive, and when the chief whose daughter had been taken captive, when he made an arrangement for his daughter to be taken back, and she was given this option of staying with the person who had kidnapped her or going back with him, she chose to stay with that man who had taken her as a captive. After this obviously was a reason of shame for the chief. And it is said that from then on, it became famous that this so-called idea that a daughter can bring such shame to a family, so they began to bury their daughters alive. And Islam was to change this. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his teachings, with his guidance, would change this. In fact, we would come to see a stage where amongst the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most the highest ranking individual, the most beloved, being a daughter, and being namely Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So times were very, the times of brutality. Alcohol was obviously common. And the expression goes that they would drink alcohol as people drink water. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us that not only should we refrain from alcohol, but alcohol itself, consuming alcohol, can affect one's iman. The actual prohibition during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened in stages, and we will cover this, Allah willing, later in our seerah. But for us as believers today, it is clear that it is haram for anyone, any believer, to consume alcohol. It's impure. Obviously, in the Jahiliyyah times, fornication was common. Women were treated as slaves and servants. And within the Sharia, the teachings of Islam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would educate his ummah about how a woman, especially after she becomes a mother, that transition of her rank and her importance and her significance, how Allah Almighty has mentioned the difficulties that she faces in certain phases of life. We hear this that men are given preference, and sometimes women will say that it's the men who are given preference. Men may say women are given preference. It's nothing to do with that. Our way in Islam gives honor to people who have earned the honor, and Islam gave honor to women when women were being treated like objects. A mother, for example, if a son has £100, he would effectively give £25 to his father and £75 to his mother. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam was known by the Arabs, and many of the people of the book would try to express affiliation with Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. In fact, this is a theme of the Quran, of how the Christians of that time would say that he was a follower of our religion, and how the Jews from the people of the book would say that he was a follower of our religion. And the Quran explicitly mentioned that Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam was neither Christian nor Jew. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam famously, his two prophet sons who are famously known, Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam and Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam, both being from different mothers. Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam, according to some tafsir narrations, was 14 months older than his brother Ishaq. And from Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam, from his lineage, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born later. And the seal of prophecy, prophethood, was sealed with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was a reason of dispute amongst the people of the book. The fact that lineage, in terms of lineage, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from the family or the lineage of Sayyidina Ismail alaihi salam, and the other people of the book, some of them desired that prophecy remained in the lineage of Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam had 12 sons. These 12 sons spread themselves out in Arabia. Qidar, one of his sons, remained in the region of Makkatul Mukarramah. And from the family of, from the children of Qidar, was an individual by the name of Adnan. A few generations later, from Adnan's offspring came Qusay, who was in charge, who put a judicial system, so to speak, in place, created some kind of parliament in his time. From after Qusay, then there was Abd Manaf and Hashim, Abdul Muttalib, and Abdul Muttalib being the father of Abdullah, Abdullah being the father of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And now the lineage of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, as mentioned in Sahih traditions, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murra bin Ka'ab bin Lu'ay bin Ghalib bin Fihr bin Malik bin Nadr bin Kinana bin Khuzaymah bin Mudrika bin Ilyas bin Mudar bin Nizar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan. And from the mother side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he was Muhammad bin Amina bint Wahab bin Abd Manaf bin Kilab bin Murra. So the lineage joined from maternal side and paternal side at Kilab bin Murra. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was very proud of his lineage. In fact, there are various traditions in which he mentioned the honor that was given to his lineage. One particular tradition that I would like to share with you is when our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Muslim quotes, he said, Allah Almighty from the children of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam chose Kinana and honored Kinana, and from the Kinana he honored the Quraysh, and from the Quraysh he chose the Banu Hashim, and from the Banu Hashim he chose me. In other traditions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned how in creation, when creation came into existence, from the best of creation, generation to generation, I was placed in the best of creation from generation to generation until I came to be in the generation that I was born in. So these are some examples of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make it very clear that he came from honorable ancestors, and his forefathers were honorable people. Once a famous moment when Abu Sufyan was talking to Heraclius, and Heraclius actually asked him, this was before Abu Sufyan embraced Islam, and Heraclius asked him about the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was undeniable the nobility of his lineage and the honor of his lineage could not be denied. And even as much as he may have wanted to say something negative regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when asked by Heraclius, that particular question, it was a direct question and he had to answer, and he simply said, his words were the expression that's mentioned in the books of Sirah, huwa fina dhu nasabin, that you know, he from amongst us, he is a man of ancestral honor. So he is a man who possesses ancestral honor. Another famous ancestor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, his great grandfather, who was known as Hashim. Hashim was not his original name. His actual name was Amr, and he was known, he was a very elegant, handsome man, known for his generosity and bravery. And one of the most famous expressions of this being, when the Arabs faced a drought and he went to Syria, purchased some bread, came back, slaughtered some camels, and mixed this bread with the cooked meat. And due to this, he became known as Hashim, the one who breaks bread, or the one who breaks bread into little pieces. Hashim married into the tribe of Khazraj in Madinatul Munawwara, and he married the Honorable Salma, who was a daughter of a chief of the Khazraj tribe. He actually, at a very young age, at Gaza, he passed away, and the Sirah sources say that he was 25 years old when he passed away. Abdul Muttalib was the son of Hashim, and he was born in Madinatul Munawwara, and he stayed with his mother until he reached until he reached the age of 7 or 8, various traditions mention how his uncle came to bring him to Makkatul Mukarramah and convinced his mother that he has a better future in Makkatul Mukarramah. Abdul Muttalib was not his name. His name was Shayba. And one reason for that is mentioned regarding why he was called Abdul Muttalib was that his uncle who came to pick him up and take him to Mecca, his name was Muttalib. And he was riding with his uncle. When the people saw Muttalib with this young boy, they said that Muttalib has brought with him a slave. And Muttalib responded by saying that he's not a slave, this is my nephew. So it became a joke and something that out of affection, they began to call the boy Abdul Muttalib thereafter. Abdul Muttalib became a very pious man. He inherited the responsibilities of his forefathers. He was known for his devotion in worship. He would go into the cave of Hira and stay there and spend nights there and time there in solitude. One of the famous things which he was responsible for, the Zamzam well, which had been concealed, it was during his time that the people gained access to the Zamzam well again, which was a blessing for them. The other and possibly the most famous account of the life of Abdul Muttalib was the account of Abraha and his army of elephants, or the Ashabul Fil. Abraha was a representative of the Abyssinian king in Sana'a in Yemen. And Abraha had built a temple, very extravagant building. His intention, he boasted about it, and he said that it was his intention that it would replace the Kaaba itself as a place of pilgrimage. Now, considering how what the Arabs felt about the Kaaba itself and the history of the sacred Kaaba and the pride of the people of Makkatul Mukarramah, an Arab was so angered. He was so angry with the statements of Abraha that he actually went into the temple in Sana'a and he defiled it. He simply defecated it within the actual temple or church itself. And the response, understandably, being that Abraha was fuming after this. And he decided that he would march onto Makkatul Mukarramah and he would destroy the Kaaba. And so he left Yemen, he left Sana'a with an army containing elephants with the very intention of destroying the Kaaba. His army went forward and took some animals into their possession. And the sources say that there were some 200 to 400 animals which belonged to Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib went into the Abraha's camp. And when he entered, Abraha saw Abdul Muttalib. And he was so impressed by the appearance of Abdul Muttalib that he actually came off his seat and sat down with him. And he asked Abdul Muttalib about his visit and the purpose of his visit. Abdul Muttalib simply said, mentioned the animals and some animals had been taken by his soldiers. And Abraha was disappointed. He said, I expected more. I'm disappointed with the fact that you are worried about animals. I've come here to destroy the Kaaba. I've come here to raise the Kaaba to the ground. And you are worried about animals. And then obviously with that feeling of disappointment, he gave the order for the animals to be given back. Abdul Muttalib's response simply was that I am the owner of the animals, so I ask about the animals. And the owner, the master of the Kaaba, this issue is between you and him. He returned to the sacred area, the Haram. He ordered everyone to disperse and go onto the hilltops and in the surrounding areas, and he himself held onto the door of the Kaaba and prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, every master, every owner protects his house. This is your house. This is your house, so protect it. Here, my dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, I will end the account. Did Abraha succeed in his intention of destroying the Kaaba? Did anyone stop his army of elephants? What happened to Abdul Muttalib? We will answer these questions in the next episode of our silsila, Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madani Channel, remain affiliated with this beautiful environment of Dawat Islami to inspire each other. Let us come together in serving the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let us become believers who help one another, who care for one another. And let Dawat Islami be a means of serving Islam for us. Allah karam aisa kare, tujhpe jahan mein. اے دعوت اسلامی تیری دھوم مچی ہو آمین بجاہ النبی الامین صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم Keep watching Madani Channel صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one the soul of mercy Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.